Blind Cool Tech, March 15, 2006.
You're listening to Blind Cool Tech, the podcast about ordinary, everyday blind people, coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky. Now, here's the host of Blind Cool Tech, Larry Skutchkon.
Hey, y'all. How you doing? I'm Larry Skutchkon, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Wanted to talk to you today about how cool Skype is. I was telling Mario about it, and we've talked about it on The List and in some other podcasts, but I was telling Mario, who's one of our developers at APH, and he tried to find me on there, just looking up my last name, and I wasn't on there, because I was registered under Blind Cool Tech. Let's go straight. Good boy. But he found this other Skutchkon in the Czech Republic named, I want to say it's Jirich. It's J-I-R-I with an accent on it. Good boy. Let's go left. That's my little buddy. I'm talking, by the way, to Jake, my guide dog. Good boy, little buddy. We're in Louisville, Kentucky, on our way down beautiful Frankfort Avenue, heading home. Hope you'll join me for about the next 40 minutes while we chat. Anyway, Mario says he found this other Skutchkon, so I looked at the guy's profile, and contacted him, and we're not sure if we're relatives or not, but with a name like Skutchkon, how can you not be? He said that was a pretty rare name, even in the Czech Republic. So, Jirich is George in English, and George speaks English fairly well. He told me he didn't understand American English too well, but I know I wasn't talking too fast for him. But I can understand that, and like they say, he can speak English a lot better than I can speak Czech. Anyway, this guy is a translator. Oh, that's one thing he does. So he translates technical documents and patents and instructions, that kind of stuff, from in between any of the languages, German, Czech, Slovakian, Russian, and English. Now, I think probably German, Czech, Slovakian, and Russian are fairly similar languages. I don't know about German and Czech, but the rest of them, I think, are a lot closer to each other, so maybe that's not as totally impressive as it sounds at first glance. But that was so interesting to talk with this guy. Good boy, forward. The first time we tried talking, we actually had a pretty bad connection. But tried again today, and we had a good conversation. And hopefully I'll get to know this guy a little better. He's about my age, and sounds like a really neat guy. Got a doctorate in natural sciences. It seems like I was telling somebody at work, it seems like the side of the family that came over to the U.S. might have been the slackers or something. Because, man, I can't get any of my kids to get finished with college. Although Shelly's on her way, so. Well, and so is Crystal, my oldest daughter, so. She's actually only got very few hours left. I thought when she first started and went 3, 4 years, maybe 5 years, she was going to be a permanent student. But once she got married and out on her own, I guess the reality hits you a little bit. Well, you know, you're on your own. You're not dependent on mom and dad anymore. So this was really cool to be able to talk with this guy. And Mario was telling me he's been talking with people in Guatemala, Costa Rica, Colombia, China. And it's all the quality of, well, what you guys heard on that recording that we did with Hope and Lynette and Rob and I. Good doggy, little buddy. It's, wow, forward, good boy. It's actually warm out here. It was cool this morning, so I wore my big leather jacket. Someone, Mary I believe it was, brought up a good point on the list about the Blind Cool Tech chat room. Now, if you don't know about the Blind Cool Tech chat room, you should check this out. And you can get to it by going to the webpage, blindcooltech.com, and clicking on the chat link up there. That'll take you to a page that describes what it is, and then a link to enter the chat room. And if you already have the software installed, you'll be ready to type in your name and join in any chat that may be in progress. Hey, if you don't have the software installed, the webpage will offer to go ahead and install it for you, and it's a pretty painless process, so it's pretty easy to do. You're a good doggy, Jake. And the way it works is that once you're in the chat room, you just hold down your control key to speak. And then anyone else in the chat can hear you. Now, Debbie Norling brought up a really good idea. I love this idea. And that idea is to schedule topics to chat on at specific times. So what we'll try to do, she's scheduled one for Saturday evening, and I want to say 6 o'clock Eastern, but I'll double check on that. And her topic is going to be clicker training. All right, little buddy. Good boy. That's it. And I can see some really interesting topics coming out of this. There's so many knowledgeable people on the list that it's amazing. I mean, I overuse that word, but it's nothing short of amazing. You guys really impress me. And apparently, you're impressing a few other people too. I got the nicest email from another guy who mentioned us on his podcast.
A very interesting site that I found recently is one called blindcooltech.com. The site is primarily designed to benefit the blind and visually impaired. However, it's certainly open to everyone. The site contains podcasts that cover a wide variety of topics of interest to the visually impaired, but to many others as well. This site is a fabulous application, I think, of the podcasting technology. Podcasts are produced by people from all over the globe for all to share. There are product reviews, commentaries, and soundscape tours, each, of course, from the perspective of the visually handicapped. I'm not blind, but I really enjoy listening to programs on topics like dog training, digital voice recorder product reviews, musical instruments, and much more. And I've enjoyed taking soundscape walks with the man behind Blind Cool Tech, Larry Skutchan, and his dog. Thanks to Blind Cool Tech, I've also developed a greater sense of appreciation for the adversities the blind confront daily, and the truly impressive abilities that many blind people have acquired. The podcasts are available through iTunes as well as through blindcooltech.com.
And that was really cool. It was Real People podcast. And I will put the URL and RSS for that in the show notes, so you can check that out. Pretty interesting guy on this. Just talks about all kinds of different things. This latest one, he's built a little portable pup tent for his dog and so forth. And he talks about life and projects and what gives a person a feeling of accomplishment and satisfaction. Pretty good stuff. Good boy, little buddy. Jake's taking me around the back of the car waiting in the intersection here. So we are through. Mary, though, brought up the point of inviting guests into the chat room. And to me, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, why not? It might, you know, as long as if we can share information and share our knowledge with each other, I think that's pretty much what this is all about. A little bit of knowledge, a little bit of inspiration. That's what we want to do. I was thinking this morning as I was trying to put some of the excellent submissions up onto the website, what a phenomenal resource this is. You know, there's a lot of other magazines and podcasts and sources of information. We've really never had more ways to get information than we do today. But this podcast has got to be one of the most rich, informative means of getting relevant information, at least that I know of. So let's keep it going. Let's grow it. Let's make it better. And we're working on that. We got some really cool ideas and some things that are going to start happening here in the next few days and weeks. And speaking of things coming up, Are any of you all going to the CSUN conference? That's the California State University at Northridge. I forget which annual conference this is, but it's really the largest technology conference for assistive technology. And it's a good one. It's held in Los Angeles each year in March at the Airport Marriott. And at the Hilton right down the street. Century Boulevard, I believe it is. Anyway, if any of you are heading out that way, let's try to get together for a little bit of fun and relaxation, and maybe a good cast, of course. Also, earlier this week, I was invited to speak at a conference up in New York City. Good boy. And this is the International Digital Publishers Forum. There's information at www.idpf.org/mobile. MOBILE. It's really a conference for publishers, but looks like some fascinating topics, and I really hope that I can emphasize the need for universal design considerations in all these electronic text products. One of the my topic is NIMAS compliance. The publishers are pretty concerned about what they need to do. Good boy. To conform to the new legislation that relates to this National Information Materials Accessibility Standard, which I have mentioned on this cast is really a subset of the DAISY, or the ANSI NISO Z3986 specifications. So I think one of the points that I really would like to make is that... Hey there.
How you doing?
Good. Is that... Oh man, it's beautiful out here. I wished I didn't have this big jacket on, in fact. One of the points I really want to work into my presentation without, you know, getting on these people is that, hey, you know, if you design with universal design concepts in mind, we really wouldn't even need this legislation. And furthermore, all you publishers, publisher types, would really not need to be scrambling so hard to fit these new models of mobile reading devices. You know, I think we've all seen these web pages that are designed to fit a specific screen resolution and everything is laid out perfect and precise. And of course we'd all like that on all our web pages. But, you know, the whole idea of hypertext markup language and presentation on the web is that it's meant to be... Good boy, phone. Maybe we should wait. Well, we can go. Alright. Good boy. Man, this guy is way out in the road. Alright. Good boy. There you go. Good dog. You know, the page is set to be displayed at a specific resolution, and if you change it, you know, text will fall off the end of it, or it'll look really goofy. But that's really just the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. The real problem is that, you know, if someone wants to view that web page on their cell phone screen or on the dashboard of their car, it's not going to look right. It's not going to act right. But had they designed it in accordance with the World Wide Web Consortium, WC.org, by the way, these things would already be working, and they'd be accessible. Maybe one of the things I can do in my presentation is to show an inaccessible ebook and then an IMAS file that is totally accessible. So I'm going to try to work out some kind of dramatic display of this phenomena. And I think I can do it fairly easily. So, this conference is going on May 24th. So, really looking forward to that. New York is one of my favorite cities in the country. And I think what, especially Manhattan, and this is Midtown Manhattan, it's where this is all occurring. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think I mentioned we got to go to Manhattan each time I've gone up to the Seeing Eye to train for a dog. And, you know, either 1, 2, or 3 days, depending on what your situation is at home and how much you need to get into that kind of pedestrian traffic. But I always thoroughly enjoy that. It's easy to walk around. There's so many people. And sidewalks are nice and wide. And everything you could possibly want, you can walk to. I sort of feel like I have a mini version of Manhattan here on Frankfurt Avenue. Of course, I don't think you'll see these wide open 3 or 4 acre grounds like off here to the left of the railroad track. Things like that in Manhattan, but we don't have near the variety here either. So, Jake, you are doing so good, little buddy. I got a voicemail an email from Scott talking about bags and, you know, over the shoulder versus backpack and sizes and so forth. And he was telling me he carries quite a bit of stuff, you know, lunch, extra food for his dog and water. And so he was cautioning me not to get one too small. But I've been down that road. In fact, I just bought a messenger bag. Well, just over a year ago now. And I find it too big. This little nylon bag I've got on my back right now is what I'm after, and something that's a little bit, a little different. So if any of you knows of a good one, do let me know. I was starting to say the other day too, this idea of these nylon harnesses is a good one. One of the things that the harnesses that you get from the Seeing Eye and other guide dog schools has as a feature that's quite unappealing is the bolts that hold the harness handle onto the body of the harness. So there's some metal pieces that allow the handle to move up and down, and when you drop the handle, you know, it'll lay on the dog's back. But those little metal pieces are murder on the legs when you, especially when the dog is maybe trying to get through a tight spot in the car or under a table or whatever. You know, they can kind of squeeze between your leg and another item, and it really hurts. So if you could get the sturdiness and the good feel that you get with this leather on a nylon one without those bolts on the side, I would love to try that. And you know, these bolts really are meant to be able to take the handle off. But I was just commenting, I've had 5 dogs over a 25 almost, yeah, it is 25 years now, 25 year period, and I've never removed the harness handle. So I'm all for, you know, I don't have a need to remove it, so I would like to do without those metal pieces on there. And you know, these harnesses are strong enough and built well enough that they last the entire life of the dog. In fact, I'm using Fred's harness right now on Jake because I have suffered the problem that the Seeing Eye says is the most common reason for harness replacements. Good boy. Which is outgrowing them. I don't think Jake is getting fat, but his chest is getting bigger. He's grown up into a big old boy. So, yeah, I think I'm going to check one out. Hey, another thing. Talking about bags and harnesses. Don't turn. Okay. I've been on the prowl, so to speak, for a new wallet. And I had a wallet that I've had for years and years, and it's finally wore out. It's called a cabbie's wallet. And the thing I liked about it is that on the fold part, there was a slot right in the end where you could keep like your bank card and your ID or things that you accessed frequently. Plus, it had a snap pouch on it where you could, well, I kept my other cards in there, my insurance and Seeing Eye and Sam's and that kind of stuff. But there was also a place in the lid portion of this little thing that snapped down. A little small spot you could keep stamps and extra bags for your dog for pickup. I think I mentioned I just used the little tiny sandwich bags. Well, not tiny, just regular sandwich bags. Because I've tried to get tried to get the I try to get the kind of food that creates compact poop, to put it bluntly, because I don't like picking up a big mess. I like picking up a nice neat pile. So this wallet had all these compartments in it. It was fairly small. Good boy, little buddy. All right, we're out into the detour area in here. I got another wallet the other day. Just tried out. It was on sale. It's very small, which is what I wanted. But it doesn't have a compartment for your money, of all things. Instead, it's got a money clip. So I'm trying that out. I'm not liking it much so far, though. And it may just be a thing that I need to get used to. The way I deal with money is I just put the... Good boy. Good doggy. I just put the 20s in the money compartment, unfolded, or anything. And then when I get change, I've got a way I fold the 10s, and usually I'll just put the 10s, I'll fold them and put them in my back right pocket, 5s. I fold the 10s in quarters, fold it in half and then half again. Put them in the back right pocket for later transfer to the wallet when I'm not, you know, at the counter or anything. And then the 5s I just fold in half and put them in my right front pocket for later transfer into the wallet. And then once I put them into the wallet, you know, I keep them folded in the way I described. And I can still do that in this wallet, but they seem to stick out just a little bit. I don't know, it doesn't seem as secure with that money clip and then these things sticking out a little bit. But then for the ones, I just keep those in my left front pocket, so don't even bother getting those into the wallet. And this is a system I've used for years and years that works out really well for me. I know everybody does their money differently. So if you do have some really cool tips about ways you handle money and keep track of it, please, you know, share them with us. I will say, for those of you that may be listening who aren't blind, a totally blind person really has no way to identify bills, at least U.S. bills. Of course, in Europe, the euro is sized differently according to its denomination. So the bigger the denomination, the bigger the bill. But I don't know why there's such resistance to go to that system in America. I suspect it has to do with the fact that we have to retool the entire automated teller industry. But I don't know that for a fact. And you do have to rely on the honesty of the person who provides you the change. And I will tell you for a tip that if you're in the slightest bit of doubt, so if someone says your 10's in your right hand, what you want to do is take your right hand or your left, whichever one you really think the 10's in. Because when somebody's looking at you, about 50% of the time, they're going to tell you the wrong hand. So you want to say this is the 10, and hold out the one in your right hand, or the left hand, whichever one you decide. And just to verify it, you know, just keep yourself from having the hassle of an unidentified bill. Because believe me, it is a pain in the butt. Now, I have not, you know, good boy. Actually, one of the first things a sighted person will ask you is, you know, don't you get cheated all the time? Well, you probably do in some places. Maybe I've been lucky enough to do business and do my transacting in places where that's not such an issue, because I've never been cheated. And you know, you would know too, because if someone tells you it's a 10, immediately fold it, put it in that back right pocket, and later on when you got time, take that out, put it in your billfold folded, you know that was the 10. Good boy. Somebody left their trash can out this morning, didn't they, Jagsters? So if you have some great tips on money, or if you know of a really cool wallet that's small, or a cool bag that's small, let me know. We are gonna go ahead and wrap it up here. About to turn onto our street, which signals the end of this podcast. Really enjoyed chatting with you guys. Like I said, I am totally impressed with your capabilities and your knowledge, and I hope you continue to share that information with the rest of us. I cannot express to you how many people we have actually changed their lives. Now, we've played a few of those audio comments, so you know what I'm talking about. Let's keep it up, and you guys have a great one. We'll see you next time. Hello, buddy. Not a breath, little man.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at www.blindcooltech.com. If you would like to contact us, our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to the Blind Cool Tech email list at blindcooltech.com/request@freelist.org. Our phone number is 206-984-9203, where you may leave voicemail feedback about the show.
Glasses or something?